Thank you for Gary. We thank you for men like Gary. Men, dads, grandfathers who are present and who invest. Not pushy, not overbearing, but just available. And so, Lord, we thank you for Gary and we thank you for his life that's submitted to you. And we just want to come to you ourselves and open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us through Gary today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, mate. I'll stay down here. Is that okay? Can you focus? You're right?
Sweet.
Just for a change. I'm usually up there and I think...
There was a thing suggested once about preachers. They keep about 2 metres above criticism and feedback, you know. And you think, well, that's not nice to think, but sometimes it's true, you know. So I'm just saying, if you want to chuck something in while I'm... I don't mean stuff. If you're easily offended, today could be the day. Because I'm speaking to men, so ladies, you just feel free to say amen. That wasn't a quip, by the way. That wasn't a dad joke, just amen or hallelujah. You feel free to do that. But I just want to talk to the blokes today. It's Father's Day, of course, when we normally celebrate fathers. But what I'd like to do this morning is to talk about, and I'm going to try and stick to my notes because if I get a word wrong, I'll get misquoted, possibly. So if you're online, you could be offended today. But I trust not, because what I believe is in this is absolute truth. Not because it's my words, but it's based on scripture. Okay? You all right with that? So what I'd like to do, rather than just talk about fathers, is men, maleness. I'm not even sure it's a word, but you know what I mean by maleness. So please don't misquote this or take it out of context, but friends, not every man is a father. But not every father is a man. And I'm not talking genders here. I'm just saying you've heard the expression man up. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes fathers need to man up. But you could be a good father. You may not be a father yet. That's fine. It's perfectly good. I can't say I've ever heard the term woman up. No? Or girl up. Because, you know, it's just an expression that men use. You need to man up, you know. Get a life, get a grip, you know, stand firm and be somebody of substance. But being male, people, just to put it bluntly, is not just being a carrier of the seed necessary to procreate. Being male is much, much more than that. Genesis recorded the plan. The all-powerful one who made the whole cosmos, it says he created male and female. But sin ruined the model and we got confused, damaged and convinced that our self-view was more trustworthy than God's view. In the beginning, the account of creation, whether you take it literally or as symbolic, or if you don't believe it at all, you think it's a fairy story, whatever, the beginning of the human race, as it's recording in Genesis, it sounded like the man dropped the ball right from the start. Because after Adam and Eve had done what the Lord had said not to do, it says, let me read it to you so we get it absolutely correctly. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. Can you imagine that? God walking around in the garden where you live? Whew, heavy stuff. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called on the man. Where are you, Adam? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden and I hid. I was afraid. Because I'm naked. And this is a bit crazy, isn't it? You know, God who made him, and he said, I'm naked. Nothing you can't show me or haven't already seen. I made you, you drip. But he didn't say that. He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And God says the obvious thing, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And of course, then there's the ultimate cop-out, the first one ever. Oh, the woman you gave me, she made me do it. Right. So straight away, man is M-I-A. What's M-I-A mean? Missing in action. Already, there was a need for a man to be a man. And he wasn't doing that. MIA, I've got to say, because I remember some social studies, is also the Murrumbidgee Irrigation Area. That's random. Okay. But I'm talking about missing in action. So let's get back to my notes, otherwise we'll be here all blinking day. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is writing this and he says, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. And if you read the context of that chapter, it's talking mostly about the love of money being the root of all evil and how corrupting the love of money can be. So he says, run from all these evil things. Then he says to this, Timothy, who he's describing as a man of God, he said, pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance and gentleness. So, all right, I've talked about Genesis 3. I've repeated that here, have we? All right, let's talk about the history of Israel. All through the Old Testament, you've got a record of the evolution of the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel. It started with Abraham being called, and he became the father of Israel. And he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and on it went. But the history of Israel was pretty much a merry-go-round of A, honouring God and flourishing, B, God having to raise up a prophet to tell them to get back to where they once belonged. Then they repent and start honouring God again. It goes round and it goes round and it goes round. For an example, in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. So this is Ezekiel the prophet speaking God's word to the people. I was looking for a man to stand in the gap on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Again, missing in action. Someone needed to man up and they didn't. Here's a good story. Total contrast. And Nate mentioned this last week during our worship. Those three young blokes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were just teenagers. And they're in captivity. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to make this huge idol and everyone will have to bow down and worship it when you hear all this music playing. And these three guys who were Jewish and had been brought up the right way and about eating the right food and being true to God, they said, no. We're not going to worship your idol. So they stuck out like a sore thumb, quite literally. You know, the music starts, everyone in the town bows down. Here's these three young tackers standing up there going, bring it on. Bring it on. Not officially men, but they were young men and they knew how to man up. They weren't missing in action. Likewise, their best buddy, Daniel, you know, the whole lion story, the lion's den. He said, no, I will continue to pray to my God as often as I believe I have to. And so the spies get back to the king and say, you know that Daniel bloke? He was praying. We saw him. So, oh, man, because the king admired Daniel. I've got to stick with my word. So he goes into the lion's den. You know the story. He came out. And in both of those stories, because these guys manned up, God was honoured. The king realised that their God was the true God. So good things happened. And it continues to happen when men are men and take their place and stand up for what is right. when we stand up for our principles and values and convictions, good things happen and culture lifts, could I say, and society is the better for it. And that's not, I'm not saying women never do this, right? I'm just saying specifically to men today, the future and the health of our culture and our society may depend on you standing for what you believe. And there's huge expectations on us, even from when we're little tackers, aren't there? You know, you remember the old Men at Work song, Be Good Johnny? I'm showing me age, I know that. They said, you going to play football this year, Johnny? Nah. You remember it? Oh, well, you must be going to play cricket this year then, are you, Johnny? Nah. 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 Boy, you sure are a funny kid, Johnny, but I like you. So tell me, what kind of a boy are you, John? A little bit prophetic. Yeah, that's right. I only like dreaming. Yeah, all the day long. Okay, my wife's going to give me curry for that. You couldn't help yourself, could you? You had to quote some old song. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. In this postmodern world, few topics invite as much controversy as discussions about gender, right? Adding a religious dimension makes the concept even more prone to distortion and emotional reactions. Not denying that. Some of what the Bible says about men and women, how they relate and what God's expectations are for them, may run contrary to our preferences. Those ideas may conflict with our cultures, upbringing, or the opinions of our peers. And yet the definition of biblical manhood, and womanhood for that matter, is exactly that. It's biblical, not opinion-driven. All the same, even within Christianity, there is significant debate over the best way to apply the Bible's concepts of manhood and womanhood, how to live out the unique God-given roles of men and women. And it's not quite as easy as it seems, because in practice as it is in theory. We were created in the image of God, the Bible tells us, something that no other creature can claim. This makes every single human being valuable and worthy of respect. And yet, males and females are not identical. We are biologically, physiologically, psychologically, and emotionally distinct. Offended yet? This is not in any sense a bad thing. God called his original creation, which included distinct genders, very good. Very good. It's recorded. So friends, I want to ask you today, men, what can we do to make sure we align with what Scripture has to say about being male? And that's not as easy as it sounds, because it doesn't say a lot in this particular area. But we can see some good examples of how a man should live and act in a way that will be positive, productive, and decent. Of course, the obvious answer to this issue is always to look at Jesus. Not just to say, yep, he was the guy who got crucified and some believe he came back from the dead, but to look at how he did life and how he related and how he treated women and how he treated everyone. He's a perfect example of biblical masculinity. He was resilient in the pursuit of God. He was gentle in spirit and humble in service to others. You agree with that? According to the Bible and by the examples of Christ, masculinity is humble leadership. It is sacrificial love and incredible meekness. Something else we've got to do, and I've kind of already hinted at this, we've got to try and ignore the cultural fuzzies. Now, it's 44 years ago that Monty Python came out with a movie that was pretty controversial and some would consider blasphemous. But there's one scene I just want to share with you right now. This is they said this 44 years ago. Classic. And would you believe now that there's pressure on them to not use that clip anymore, you know? Just a little nuts. 44 years ago. Yeah. Wow. Something else we need to do, men, is to know the value. Excuse me. I better get some of my free orange juice. Hang on a sec. Here we go. Know the value of maleness. Just a few years back, Judith, not that Judith you just saw, my Judith, had organised a divisional weekend for women up near Coffs Harbour. And there were a lot of ladies in the room, and they needed someone to look after the tech support so that no one else had to, and they could just enjoy what was prepared for them as women. So Muggins here got to be the tech support. So I was feeling like the token testosterone in the room of probably about 200 women. And I thought, why do I feel a little bit uncomfortable? And I thought, that's crazy. I paddled out in the surf a few years, just before COVID, and there was about five women surfing, and I was the only bloke. And I said to one of them who I know, I said, a lot of estrogen in the water today. And they said, yeah, now you know how we felt back in the 70s. Okay, good one. Excellent. Loved it. Or maybe at that event with that Judith organised, I should have worn a T-shirt with one of those fingers, you know, I'm with her. Yeah, you've seen those? No, obviously you haven't. Okay. Yeah, and men, you got to know this too. You are deeply loved.
Yeah.
As you are. Billy Joel said it, didn't he? Don't go changing to try and please me. I love you just the way you are. This will help greatly in not feeling threatened as a member of the male population. Friends, our society needs revitalised masculinity. We need masculinity that will treat women with honour, prize honesty, and fight for the sake of the vulnerable. Amen? Rather than removing all boundaries for masculinity or clinging to a toxic version of it, biblical masculinity is rooted in the dedicated imitation of Christ. And my final suggestion or point to make is this, that you need to know, we need to know who we are in God's purposes, where we fit into the family of God, and that you are free in Christ to be everything that God designed for you and I to be as men, as women are designed to be as well, as women. We're going to sing in just a second, but before we do, I'd like all the men to stand, please. And if you're at home and you're a man, if you don't feel embarrassed in front of your wife or anyone else in the room, please stand. Just want to pray for all the men. God, we admit today that we men often get it wrong, so we repent of our stubbornness and pride. We pray that you will show us how to be resilient in the pursuit of godly purposes, gentle in spirit and humble in service to others. Guide us as we embrace our masculinity, treat women with honour and respect everyone, including ourselves. Help us to value honesty, and as we fight for the sake of the damaged, hurt and vulnerable amongst us, help us each to be strong in the convictions given to us by your Holy Spirit and sensitive but unapologetic in our connections with all of your creation for the sake of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to sing now. The song simply says this, I am who you say I am, not what culture dictates or suggests or infers, but it is about who God says that I am. And in Christ, first of all, I am free. and then I am free to be the person he raised me up to be. And every day is another opportunity for every one of us to do it better than what we did it yesterday. Instead of living with regret, all you got to be is better than what you were yesterday. Simple. And I've got regrets, and it is a new day, and I am free to be better today, Sunday, than I was Saturday. So as we sing this song, I want you to accept this challenge of who you are in Christ. Not what anyone else says, what your damage might have created, but rather who God says you are. Let's sing it.